said, "I am the good shepherd." You know, there's something about shepherds where the Lord is concerned. Throughout the Bible, God seems to find himself drawn to people who serve as shepherds in their lives. It was Moses who, as a shepherd, found himself on the back of the wilderness when he was drawn to a burning bush and heard God's call to set his people free. When Samuel was sent to discover who would be the king following Saul, he overlooked all of the natural choices and found David, that little shepherd boy, out working in the pasture. As David grew to be the king, he wrote so many psalms of praise and worship to God, but perhaps the most familiar is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And when Christ was born, it was the shepherds who heard the message first that God had sent a Savior. Bible's full of references to shepherds and sheep. Isaiah described the sinful nature of man by writing, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And then he described the sacrificial death that the Messiah would suffer. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus taught about the shepherd who left the 99 in order to search for the one that was lost. Peter wrote that pastors are to shepherd the flock of God which is among you. And in Revelation, Jesus is described as the Lamb of God. Without a doubt, the most important image was the one Jesus used to reveal himself to his followers. "I am the good shepherd." Jesus continues to be the good shepherd today. And in fact, I think all of us get a little bit of comfort from that image. We like the idea that the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And he's your shepherd. And we like that idea even though we live in a time when nobody really knows much about shepherding sheep. The truth is, I would imagine that this morning if I ask you to raise your hand if you've ever worked sheep in your lifetime, there might be one. There is one. But that would be about it. All I really know about shepherding and sheep came from a friend at my former church who retired from the company that he had owned and decided one of the ways he would occupy his time was to get a flock of sheep. And he began to work those. And he told me after he'd had his sheep for about a year, "I've learned an awful lot about what God meant after I've worked with stubborn sheep for a year." We love the idea that the Lord is my shepherd. But what does it mean? What does it mean when you say, "He's my good shepherd"? He is the good shepherd. He takes care of me. He's the good shepherd. I depend upon him. He is the good shepherd. Well, let's take a minute and let's see what Jesus had to say in John chapter 10, because that's where he takes some time and he describes the task and the role of the shepherd in a very special way. And the first thing he wants us to know is this: the good shepherd has a special relationship with his sheep. There is a way that the shepherd always reaches out and relates to those who belong to him. The first thing he does is this: he reaches out with kindness. Remember what David declared? "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." When they were out in the pasture, the sheep found comfort in the presence of the shepherd. He was the one who always took care of them. He was the one who provided safety and security. They never feared his rod and staff. Even though one was a weapon of defense and one was a weapon of offense, they understood this is not about us. This is about him being kind to his sheep. This is about him taking care of his own. They were symbols of his protective presence. The fact that he was always there gave them the assurance, "I can live with security. I'm okay because the shepherd is taking care of me." And a sheep knew this: if I get lost, he'll find me. If I get wounded, he's going to pick me up and carry me on his shoulders. If I become stubborn, he's going to bring me back to the flock. There's nothing that can happen to me where the shepherd's not going to reach out and care about his own. The sheep have absolute trust in the loving kindness of the shepherd. And if I could share three life-changing words with you this morning, they would be these. God loves you. God loves you. Sometimes I think we underestimate what those words mean. We've heard them so much. God loves you. God cares about you. God bless you. And we hear that and we think, well, yeah, that's true. That's probably true all the time about everybody. And we forget what an incredible thing it is for me to be able to say to you this morning, God loves you. God loves you just where you are, just the way you're living. Your life is important to Him. It's not dependent upon whether you deserve His love or not, because let me tell you something, you don't. It's not whether or not you have fallen short of His standards, because let me tell you something, you have. If it's about you deserving to be loved, you're out of luck. And so am I. But in spite of it all, God loves you. Why does He love you? Because you belong to Him. If there's been that day in your life when you invited Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord, on that day He became your shepherd. And in that moment, you became part of His flock. And you belong to Him and He loves you. And there's nothing that's going to happen that's going to take His love away from you. Not ever. Not anytime. No matter what. He loves you. No wonder the Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him. He cares for you. Let me tell you something. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know where your needs are. I don't know where your struggles are. I don't know where your opportunities are. I don't know where your joys are. But I know this. He loves you and He is kind to you. And you can depend upon Him, and He is going to do what is right and good in your life. And you never have to wonder, is He going to care about me? Because He does. In fact, not only does He care about you, He knows who you are. The Bible says the shepherd reveals his familiarity with the sheep. Listen to this incredible verse. And the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name. He calls His sheep by name. Isn't that good to know? God knows exactly who you are. And He calls your name. My favorite pet of all time was a dog that I owned right after Judith and I got married, before we had children, when I had a lot of time to invest in him. His name was Tyson, and Tyson was half German Shepherd and half Alaskan Husky. He was a beautiful dog, but more than that, he was the smartest, most loyal dog that I've ever known. In those days, we lived out in front of a patch of woods, and most afternoons when I got home from work, Tyson and I did the same thing. I didn't put him on a leash and take him for a walk. We just took off into the woods. And we would go together, and we would roam together, and we would be together, and then all of a sudden, he would see something off there, or he would hear something rustle in the underbrush, and he was gone. Phew! He took off and disappeared. And I never worried about, am I ever going to find him again? Is he ever going to come home? Because when the time came to leave, I would call his name and he would come right back. Why? Because he had heard me call him. I knew him by name. And isn't it good to know that God knows you by name? That when he looks out over his own, he doesn't just see a flock. He recognizes every one of us and he calls us by name. It's an important thing, isn't it, to hear somebody call your name. When you're gathered somewhere or you're doing something and somebody can call you by name, that makes all the difference in the world. I remember some time back when Judith and I were in a new church setting, someone said to us after we'd been there a little while, I can't believe how quickly you've learned everybody's names. You just seem to have this great gift for putting names and faces together. And all I could think was, you don't know all the hours we're putting in at night looking at a church directory, trying to get names and faces together, because it matters to hear somebody call your name. One of my pet peeves in all the world is going somewhere to buy something, dealing with somebody who's a salesman, and they come up and I'm either purchasing something or they're giving me help, and sooner or later they'll do the same thing. They call me Bud. Yeah, Bud, let's see if we can do that. Yeah, Bud, this is what it costs. Come on, Bud. And he's 19 years old, and I'm thinking, I'm not Bud, I'm Sir. I don't know what you ladies are called, but I know I'm tired of being Bud. My name is Jim. My title is Sir. It makes a difference, doesn't it, though? When you realize somebody knows your name. How much more to know Jesus knows your name. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He's familiar with all your ways. Remember what the Bible says in Psalm 139? I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And that term made, it doesn't mean that I'm created along with a whole group of others. It doesn't mean that I'm part of an assembly line. It means I am individually, personally, specifically made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. We've been talking this past week about baby dedication with Grant and with Ella, and we got that planned in just a few weeks. When they were born, none of you said, another baby. Looks like the last one. It'll probably look like the next one. It's just another baby. What did you say? What a beautiful creation of God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. The same psalm declares, you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. You know me and you're familiar with me. One of my favorite songwriters, all the world's fellow named Don Moen. I love Don Moen because he is able to take deep truth and put it into simple words. One of his songs, he says this, I have a maker. He formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in his hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls. And he hears me when I call. If three life-changing words are, he loves you, then four life-changing words this morning would be this. He knows your name, and you are precious to him. The shepherd also displays his authority over the sheep. Jesus said he leads them out. There's no question about who chooses the pasture. There's no doubt about who's going to set the pace. There's never a time when the flock is allowed to take a vote and overrule the shepherd. Only the shepherd has the knowledge and the wisdom and the skill to lead the way. And one of the things we need to know as his sheep is he's guiding us all the way. He is always there with us. He knows what he's doing. Even in those times when we don't understand, he's still at work. His authority is complete. Do you ever want to argue with God about the things he's doing in your life, about the things he allows to happen or the things that take place, and you just want to say, God, you don't know what you're doing? I do. I can be like a little boy who was playing checkers with his grandfather. The man won several games in a row, and the little boy complained. He said, why don't you ever let me win? His grandfather said, because if I let you win, you'll never learn anything about checkers. Little boy said, I don't want to learn anything. I want to win. And sometimes I'm exactly that way when I'm talking to the Lord. Lord, I just want it my way. I want to win. I don't care what you're trying to teach me. I want to follow you, but I don't want you to tell me where to go. But his authority is complete. One of the things you can do is find security in the fact that my Father, my shepherd, knows the way, and he's leading the way, and he's going to make sure that I follow the way. And if I'll trust him, he'll get me to where I need to go every single time. If three life-changing words are, he loves you, and four life-changing words are, he knows your name, then five life-changing words are, He will guide your way. He will get you to where you need to go. So how does He do this? How does He guide your way? Well, the Good Shepherd works to accomplish His will for the sheep, and Jesus tells us all about it. He says that He leads the flock out. You know, you think about what it must be like for a sheep first thing in the morning. The shepherd comes, he begins to rouse the sheep. He begins to call each one by name and to get the flock moving in the morning. And if you're a sheep, then probably there's something inside you that thinks, you know, I just don't really want to go anywhere this morning. After all, it's safe where we are. I'm familiar with where I'm staying, and I don't really want to get up right now. I think I'll just stay here and not leave the sheepfold. But here's the thing. The sheepfold does not contain the abundance that the shepherd has in mind. If you're to stay behind, you will survive on old hay and scraggly weeds, while the shepherd's plan is to lead you to fresh water and lush pastures. And so you have to follow where He leads. Sometimes that call to say, "Yes, Lord," can feel like the greatest sacrifice you can possibly make. There are times in your life when God begins to tell you He wants to change something you're doing. He wants to take you in a different direction. There's something He wants you to obey Him. There's a way you've got to change your life. And you think, "I can't do that. I can't give that up. You're asking too much for me, Lord." But you have to be willing to let Him lead you out. "Yes, Lord, I'll serve. Yes, Lord, I'll obey. Yes, Lord, I'll forgive. Yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, I'll follow." And until you trust Him, you'll never experience the abundance that comes from stepping out and following. You can say to the Lord, "I hear your call, but it just seems too hard. It seems too uncomfortable. I'm not sure I'm ready to do that. I'm just going to stay here." And if you stay, you'll never know what God had in store for you. He leads you out. And then He shows the way. Once they leave the sheepfold, the shepherd doesn't abandon the flock. Instead, He's there every step of the way. One of the great things about a shepherd is he leads the flock. He doesn't send the flock. He doesn't say, "You all go and I'll catch up with you later on. You find your way and eventually I'll meet you at our destination." He leads every step of the way. The good shepherd is the only one who knows where to go. He never gets lost. He never gets confused. Sometimes we're completely different. You see, sheep are known for being stubborn, and sometimes one sheep may decide, "I see a shortcut. I think I can go there and get to where we're going faster." Sometimes it grows dark and stormy, and sheep will be tempted to grow frightened and just stay behind. Sometimes danger from a predator comes, and the sheep scatter in all these different directions. And in those times, more than anything, we need to hear the shepherd's voice, who calls us back to follow Him and takes care of us all along the way. We need to listen as He speaks loud and clear. There are a couple of things that are really hard to do when it comes to following Him. One of the hardest things is to learn to listen to His voice before you do anything. To pay attention and be still until He speaks. But it is essential that you do that. Allow Him to show you the way. Trust His perspective when your own idea seems like it would be a better one. Listen to Him in the darkness when His voice is the only thing you can hear. And until He speaks, be patient. I hate that word, don't you? I hate that word, patient. I hated it when I was this big. I hated it when I was this big, and I hate it when I'm this big. But it's what we have to do. We have to be patient until God shows the way. Sunday by Sunday, I stand up here, and I'll continue to stand up here and pray for God to take away this pandemic in a way that shows God did it. But I wanted to pray it one time and see it happen instantly. I thought, what an incredible thing it would be if God just, pew. But He didn't. You know why? I don't either. But I know this, you wait until God moves, and then He moves. But there's a second great challenge, and it is to act when His leading seems too hard. Wait until He says to act, and then to act when it seems as though He's asking too much. When it means you're going to have to change, I mean really change. When it means you're going to have to risk, I mean really risk. When you can't see what He's doing and He still calls you to step out and follow. Don't forget another great shepherd in the Bible, Abraham, who took all of his livestock and followed God's call without a clue where they were going. Except to know God had promised him, you will be the father of nations. Sometimes you have to act, no matter what. All along the way, nothing is more important than to believe that the Lord knows what He is doing and He knows what He's calling you to do. Also, along the way, He protects his sheep. Because the sheep belong to Him, the shepherd will protect them from every danger they meet. He will never abandon His own. Sometimes you're tempted to think, God has forgotten me. Why in the world would He be letting me go through this unless He's just neglected to be there? But we need to remember this. He never abandons His own. When you go through one of those seasons when it seems as though the world is eating you alive, when stress and failure and fear and guilt seem to follow every step you take, never forget the Lord is there for you. And more than that, He is willing to fight for you. God has made a commitment that He will take care of you. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In fact, if you read John 10, you'll discover that that's how he distinguishes the good shepherd from every other false shepherd. He says, the good shepherd is there to fight for you no matter what. A false shepherd will be with you until danger comes, and then they're gone. A false shepherd will be with you until it becomes difficult, and then they disappear. Jesus is the only one who never goes away. He fights for His own. In fact, all you have to do is look at that ugly silhouette of Jesus dying on a cross to recognize He did not hold back. And He still doesn't. He pays the ultimate price to protect those who belong to Him. But that's not all. And the shepherd brings the flock all the way home. Jesus gave His life to protect His own. But John 10 reminds us that's not the end of the story. Because He also said this, I have the power to lay it down, that is my life, and I have power to take it up again. I can give my life. But I can claim my life as well. And in taking His life again, He opened the way to come into the Father's house. I was thinking this morning, in preparing to this message, for this message, and the music that we sang together, and particularly in that song that Evie led us in just before I spoke, this idea that, you know, God is going to be with us all the way to death. And beyond. I read a powerful description the other day of what it means to go through death and into eternal life. I've been reading a book lately, Peter Marshall's Wartime Sermons. If you don't know who Peter Marshall was, he's one of the great American preachers of all time. And he was chaplain of the Senate during the war years, back in World War II. And in one of his messages, he was talking about death. And he said, for those who belong to Jesus Christ, death is only the doorway to the larger room. I like that, don't you? Only the doorway to the larger room. And that's what Jesus did when he laid down his life and took it up again. It was not just so that he could rise to eternity, but so that we could rise to eternity, because we serve a shepherd who's going to see us all the way home. When does the shepherd get to lay down his rod and his staff? When everybody's home and everybody's safe and the job is done and we enjoy eternity with him forever. He is our good shepherd. So I guess my question is your confidence in the one who says, I am the good shepherd? Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. You've never given your life to Christ. You've never invited him to be your personal Savior. You believe in God, but you don't believe that God knows your name, even though he loves you and gave himself for you. Maybe today you need to become a Christian. You need to simply invite Jesus to forgive your sins, to grant you the gift of everlasting life. Or maybe you're here as a believer and you just have to confess, you know, I've been fighting my shepherd for a long time now. There's something he's dealing with in my life, and I've just been telling him no, and I've been resisting him, and I've been trying to choose my own way instead of following his way. And maybe today you just need to say, I'm going to slip up my hand because I want you to know I'm ready to say to the Lord, let's do this your way. Maybe you haven't been trusting your shepherd to see you home. I'm going to tell you, he's there for you. You just need to trust him. Maybe there's another decision. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. If God's leading you to a decision, you slip up your hand and I'll talk to you after the service. Let's stand together. Let's sing.
A shepherd lead us, much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thy
good to spend this day in God's house, to remember our good shepherd and how he loves us. Let's bow together for our closing prayer and then our final song. And Father, we do thank you. Lord, we thank you that every Sunday when we enter this room, through these stained glass windows, we are reminded that we are safe in the shepherd's care, who carried us all the way to the cross and then eternal life. Father, thank you that you're our good shepherd. Thank you we can trust you. We depend on you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.
To be in the Lord's house today. As we exit, let me just ask you, if you would, just to move beginning in the back, out through the foyer and to the outside, where we'll have a chance to fellowship together. God bless you as you go.